This is Will's Band of the Week for January 29th, 2012. Live from New York, it's the Will's Band of the Week podcast. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hello.
And Barrett is live from New York.
Yes.
And yep. I'm live from Fourth Bedroom Studios in humble Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was at a trade show for work early last week, and on Thursday I just decided to come up here and spend some time with my old college roommate, Doug. And my stepbrother, Chris. And I'm at Chris's place right now. So, yeah, in
that's
the big
cool.
city.
You said it has a view of the Empire State Building where
yeah,
you are.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look at it right now. I can see like the top third of it, I'd estimate. Because there's some buildings in the way. But,
so,
yeah, it's cool.
I don't know my New York geography very well, but I'm assuming this is like you're in the middle of Manhattan.
Yeah, I'm on the I'm in the West Village, so I'm like on 17th Street, kind of on the west side.
How far from Central Park?
Well, you're putting me on the spot here.
Yeah, you're supposed to be running in Central Park if you're in New York, right?
What I did, that was the plan, but instead we ran down to the river from here, down the Hudson, all along the river, looking across to. You know, Hoboken and Jersey City and stuff, and
cool.
down to Battery Park.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. And we stopped and got a couple of beers and took a cab home. So that was fun. That was great.
Wow. You know, I have never been to New York City. I've like driven through on the big freeway and saw the skyline, but that's it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. Got to do it.
You got to do it.
We're going to do a family trip to the west road trip this summer, and we were thinking maybe next year we'll go to the east.
Yeah, you know, I'd recommend that.
Thing is, you know, for a family, you can't really get cheap hotels in New York City, right? It's harder.
Yeah, I would think so. I've always just been able to stay with people I know, but
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could get a place on the Jersey side and just take a ferry.
There's,
in the morning,
gotta be
hang
way.
Out all day and go back.
A little creativity. It's got to be doable,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's give the contact information. Remember, this is a music podcast, and
that's, right.
that's what we're doing.
It's not a travelogue.
No. And you can contact this podcast by going to the website, willsband.net, and you can send an email to willsband@yahoo.com. You can contact us through the social media. Those would be Facebook and Twitter. And I think we're pretty easy to find on those places,
yeah.
right? And we're available to download on iTunes or the Smart Radio app by Stitcher. So there you go. No excuse to not have this podcast bombarding your inbox continuously.
That's right.
At least on a weekly basis, right? So
that's what I feel.
Okay, so now that we've got the...
It's unanimous.
We call this the housekeeping, right? Isn't that what they call it, like in radio?
Yeah.
We've got some housekeeping to do. Yeah, so we just did that. And is there any music news? Has anything happened? I don't really...
I don't know if anything's happened. I did read here, though, that, you know, CBGB went out of business?
Yeah.
Now it's like a high-end clothing store, and but they're looking for a new location.
In
Manhattan, so there'll be a new CBGB.
You know what? You know where you should be going if you want to be cool? The Knitting Factory in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that where they have all the cool bands?
I saw, who did I see there? I came here about 10 years ago and saw Mark Eitzel from...
American Music Club.
Yeah, I saw him at the Knitting Factory.
Cool. That's
yeah.
good. Your cool factor is just skyrocketing compared
just
to me.
Just skyrocketed,
yeah.
yes. I'd like to go to, you know, the place we always hear about, or I always do, when you know, look at tours and see who's, try to see who's coming to Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody always plays at Maxwell's in Hoboken.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
How about Cat's Cradle in Carborough, North Carolina?
That's another one.
Yeah, they all go there. Yeah, you, just from looking at lists of tours, you have all these places in your head, right?
Right.
I've been to First Avenue in Minneapolis many times, but it's been a long time, so I'd like to get back there sometime, too.
Yeah, I have never been there.
It's a cool place. You know, Prince used to hang out there, so you know, you know you're cool if you're hanging out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there wasn't any music news that we're aware of, but our friend Jason did post his top 10, and his top 10 list is on the website as a comment. So go to willsband.net, and I think it's like 2 episodes ago, you'll find Jason's top 10. And his number one of 2011 was something that I had never heard or listened to, a guy named Chad Van Galen. So I thought maybe I should listen to a little bit of that, and I kind of like it. It's pretty good. He's a guy from Calgary, Western Canada, and you don't hear of too many people from there.
No.
And he's sort of a, I don't know, is he a psychedelic folk guy, something like that? But he kind of rocks out every once in a while, too. And I think he's got a few albums, and this is his latest. Well, obviously, it's his latest. Do you know anything about him?
I have one of his albums. I don't even know what it's called. And I liked it just fine. I heard another one after that that didn't really grab me, and I just kind of forgot about him.
Well, why don't we sample a little bit of this new one? I think it's worthy. And we're going to do another one of our feature podcasts. So I think it's always good to kind of lead in with a single artist. So Chad Van Galen. The album is called Diaper Island. And why don't we start with one called Peace on the Rise? That's Chad Van Galen.
Diaper Island is the name of the album?
Yeah.
That's terrible, don't you think?
It seems like it, but, you know, I kind of just don't worry about titles. You know, you just never know where it came from or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a couple more pieces. We'll do the rock out one and then the mellow tuneful one. So here's the rocking out one called Burning Photographs.
Time.
I like his guitar sound.
Yeah.
I think you get some cool, punchy, kind of cool sounding guitars. And then he sometimes mixes them in with acoustics. And it's just kind of a cool overall sound, I think.
It reminds me of something that I can't put my finger on. And you know what? I think loyal listeners probably realize I say that all the time. Maybe I need to get a little bit better at describing music.
Your track record's pretty good, though, because you a lot of the time you say that, and then you actually think of it, what it is.
Yeah.
So
I'll try. Maybe by the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
I'll have something.
As we sign off, you'll have the comparison.
Right.
Okay. This one's kind of a ballad, but it's pretty good. It's called Sarah. There you go, Chad. Yep. Van Galen. Yeah, I think that's a pretty cool song. So the album is it's pretty solid. So solid enough to be number one on Jason's list. So that's pretty cool.
I like it.
You know, I thought of a couple things as that song was playing, just because my mind wandered just slightly, just enough to remind me of two things that are not really music news, but little items. One, remember I said I was going to read the Steven Tyler book and then report back on it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, it's been really difficult to try to read it. So I'm like a little more than halfway, and I don't think I'm going to be able to finish it. It's just really annoying. It's annoying.
If it's not any good, you got to just bail on that.
And it's like kind of like what you would picture, like in a bad way of like how he would write. It's like there's like all capitals interspersed everywhere and exclamation points and, you know, fuck yeah. And just like, it's just,
yuck.
And the book is called Does the Noise in My Head Bother You? And as I'm reading, I'm like, yeah, it kind of does.
Right.
There's like, there was a whole chapter about like when he was a teenager and he was young, and it's like, you know, my friend and I took some drugs, and then we went and found some more drugs and took some drugs, and then I got busted for drugs, and then it goes on and on and on. It's just like, God, it's just like, oh, man.
Trying to like burnish his, you know, rock and roll cred or something?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
I don't know how many drugs I took.
But I do want to, I'm going to, before I return it to the library, I want to at least get to the part where, like, they're recording the albums that I actually listened to when I was 15. Because I'm kind of curious about that.
I don't suppose anybody took the time to put an index together in that book.
It's a little sloppy, you know, in terms of like, yeah. You know, it kind of goes chronological, though, so I can probably skip up to that part. You know, my phone's ringing and I don't care. So we're just going to let that go.
Yeah. And it just adds a little, you know.
Yeah, a little
slice of everyday life in there.
It's the newspaper.
We're just regular people, you know. We have phones and go on little trips, just like you guys.
Yeah. I was afraid that it was going to be...
What is that computerized voice, though? That's your phone?
Well, right now, it's a guy leaving a message. It's somebody from the newspaper. I think he wants to talk to my wife. Yeah, so, yeah.
It sounds like a robot.
Well, maybe the guy needs to work on his message-leaving skills. Well, I was going to say I was kind of afraid it was going to be my kids calling, saying I have to go pick them up from the sledding hill. I dumped them at the sledding hill, hoping they could last through the podcast recording. We are recording once again mid-afternoon.
Right.
We got to get back on our evening schedule at some point.
We do.
Yeah.
I am stone cold sober again.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So
we're not very funny or interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you can blame it on the lack of yeah, maybe we're just a little bit. I get a little uptight, I think. You know, after 100 and whatever of these episodes, you'd think I'd kind of, you know, get into a groove, but.
Yeah.
I still kind of get nervous. Do you get nervous a little bit?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. I'm just sitting here and I guess I'm not thinking about the thousands of people who are listening.
That's
the thing. I don't worry too much. Yeah.
They're judging, like everything you say, they judge.
Right.
You know, if you say, hey, this song sounds like an old Jonathan Richman song.
Right. Then we get the hate mail and everything.
Idiot. That sounds like, you know, it sounds like a Velvet Underground song.
Yeah.
Jonathan Richman, you know.
It is a lot of pressure. Yeah.
Like, you can't always get everything just right. And when you get it wrong, you feel bad.
Yeah. The hurt
so
is
I feel
deep.
Pressure to get it right.
Yeah. Now, I had one other thing. What was it? Oh, yeah. You know what I wanted to mention? There was a video of the Flaming Lips playing, I think it's called I Want You, She's So Heavy by the Beatles from Abbey Road.
Yeah, right.
And they were playing that with Nels Klein. And it's like, it's a video, you can find it on YouTube, and it's like 17 minutes long. And they just go totally nuts. And of course, you know, they have Nels Klein doing crazy solos. But they right. When you watch it, you kind of think, you know, as kind of goofy as the Flaming Lips are, just as a band, they're a good band. You know, they really know how to play. Like, if you watch this thing, there's one that's like the official one that's like really high sound quality and everything. So they're probably like people who just recorded it, you know, audience people where it wouldn't be that great. So look for the official one. It's really cool. It's worth watching. I didn't actually watch the whole 17 minutes though, because I was at work. So and you know, it was illegal to be streaming at work. So
right.
I watched like 2 minutes and then closed it out, but it was pretty cool. Really cool.
So, right.
And my son was telling me he watched some video about Nels Klein and all of his equipment. He said it was just fascinating because, you know, my son is into amps and guitars and pedals and all this stuff. And
right.
And so he, you know, Nels Klein has this incredible, of course, array of stuff. And there's this really long video that he found online. I think he said it was 40 minutes long and he was like totally fascinated. So
right.
There you go. A couple tips for you Nels Klein and Flaming Lips fans. So, all right. Hey, what about the Replacements? We are going to talk about the Replacements.
Yep, we're going to do another top five.
We did our top five. Replacements, of course, being a Midwest, Minneapolis area, Minnesota band from basically the 80s, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just, 82 to 89.
That's about it.
Yeah, most of the 80s.
And then, of course, Paul Westerberg, the band leader, has still been putting out solo stuff.
Right.
Just kind of continuously. That's all generally pretty good, too. He's clearly a talented guy. And so they're kind of a legendary band, right? Can we call them legendary?
Definitely.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
I'm going to call them seminal. I'm going to call them seminal Minneapolis punk band.
So seminal is like a level above legendary, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can be legendary and not seminal.
Right.
But if you're seminal, you're most likely also going to be legendary.
That the seminal implies, like being influential, right?
Right.
Whereas
right.
You could sort of be legendary, you'd be somewhat influential, but you could be just like, you know, legendary.
Right. Do you ever think about that word, seminal, though?
Yeah, that's like a...
It's like...
Really important.
Like you're seeding the future.
Right. That's gotta be where that comes from.
That's kind of gross that I brought that up, I think.
Yeah.
It's
listeners' own fault if they take that the wrong way. So yeah. This was another interesting one where your list has more older stuff. And the reason it does is that I didn't really get to know them at all until the Tim album, which was kind of in the middle of their catalog. Mm-hmm. And so then I went back a little bit, but I didn't have like those old ones. Like, what's the one about taking out the trash?
Sorry, Ma, forgot to take out the trash.
Right.
Yeah, that was their first one.
And Hootenanny.
Hootenanny is, that might be my favorite.
And
then they had like Stink, which was, I think it was an EP combined with, you know, B-sides and rarities and stuff. So it wasn't really an official release. Then Let It Be, Tim, and Pleased to Meet Me. And I think that's kind of where I dropped off, but you still liked it a lot at that point.
Yeah, there was All Shook Down and Don't Tell a Soul.
Yeah, those were, well, we can talk about those as they come up.
All right, so let's go. Do you want to start? You're number five?
I turned mine in chronological order, and I was going to rearrange it, but I'm like, you know what? It's just fine the way it is.
Okay.
So I'm going to put my number five. It's from the first album. It's called Johnny's Gonna Die.
Johnny's Gonna Die.
Yep.
I didn't have that album, so I didn't even know that song.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first album is the roughest of all of them, and that's kind of the song that, to me, showed a little bit more of what was to come in, you know, the following albums.
Yeah, it's not really that inconsistent with what a lot of their stuff. It's interesting that they're thought of as a punk band, but they've always throughout their catalog had some ballads, right?
Right.
And they've
they were just really like a rock band.
Yeah, they're
they're
kind of thrashy at times, and they're really kind of tuneful too at times. Of course, live they weren't really tuneful from what I heard. I never saw them live though. Did you?
Yeah, I saw them a couple of times. Saw them at Headliners in '86 with it was with my then girlfriend and now wife, and she was standing behind me. And because we were like 19 or 20, mm-hmm. we got really drunk. And because, you know, you're at a replacement show and that was like their thing.
Yeah.
So they're getting all drunk and like, you know, stripping down of their underwear and just crazy. God. And I got so drunk, I fell over back on top of her.
Mm-hmm.
And just leveled her. But
wow.
Yeah. Popped back up
and she
still married me.
Wow, that's good. You got through a replacements show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we saw their last show at in Chicago before they broke up.
So do you think they impeded their own progress by just being drunk all the time? I mean, I think because they had a reputation, right? They were when they'd play live, they'd be like really sloppy and really drunk, and there were times when people like got pissed at them because they were just totally crappy, you know?
Right. There might have been an equal number of people though that came just to see the show.
Right. Know? Right. That's true.
Be like going to see the Who for that same kind of reason.
Right. Yeah. Well, I sort of feel bad that I never saw them because I was living in Minneapolis from 1984 to 87, you know,
right.
So like, and I remember they would play, but you know, it would be like, I was in school and they'd start at 11 o'clock or whatever. It was one of those things.
Right.
So even at that
right.
age, I was like, God, am I going to like stay up all night, you know?
Right.
But you know, I really grew to appreciate them. You'd read about them in the press all the time whenever they'd put out an album. There'd be an article in the local entertainment newspaper about how it's unjust that they aren't more popular, you know. Remember this one saying that Westerberg is comparable to Bruce Springsteen as a writer?
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's, I don't know. I mean, they're so different, but that's just sort of the high regard some people held him
right.
in, you know. All right, we better keep going here. My number five is called Unsatisfied.
That's a great one. That was on my short list, part of the last one to get cut.
It's on the Let It Be album.
Yeah.
Which was by the Beatles, but also by the Replacements.
That's right.
Yep. All right. What's your number four?
My number four is Willpower from the album Hootenanny.
Thank you.
That's another good one. And I didn't have that one either.
Yep.
That's interesting hearing, you know, when I think I was saying I got the Tim album. That was the first one I had. And at that point, they were a little bit more polished, right? I mean, they were, if you can use that word to apply to the Replacements. And then I remember the bits that I heard from the earlier albums that were really kind of lo-fi, which, and I wasn't really into lo-fi stuff back then, so I didn't go back and get those. But now these two that you've played, they both sound good. Like, it'd be fun to hear. Now I really should go back and listen to those whole albums.
Yeah, like I said, this is also this album also has a lot of, you know, a lot of rougher edges that don't really show up in this song. So I think throughout my list, I'm kind of picking the mellow Replacement songs, but I like the rough ones too. But since you're talking about the production, I'll have a comment on that when we get to a Tim song.
Okay. But, yeah. The production is interesting on that one. So,
yeah.
All right. My next pick. Let's see. We're at my number four. I'm using the mic that you usually use. I wonder if the listeners can tell that the sound is different. Maybe I sound better because I got Barrett's mic.
You sound just the same. I think they're
probably pretty close.
You can still tell that it's you.
Yeah. It can. All right. My number four is from the Don't Tell a Soul album, and it's called Back to Back. Let that one go a little longer because I like the guitar solo.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Kind of rocks. So, this was, you know, clearly more polished and poppy sounding than the earlier stuff.
Right.
And they also had that sort of reverby snare drum, you know, kind of boomy snare drum that was sort of like characteristic of their last two or three albums. For those of you who pay attention to how a snare drum sounds, I'm a nerd, so I do that.
You point out stuff like that I don't hear music in that same way that you do.
That's
you know?
You actually get the feeling of the music, and I'm just too analytical, right?
I don't know.
It's kind of fun to be analytical, too, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I just analyze different things.
Different aspects, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's go to your number three.
Okay, my number three is also off of Hootenanny, and it's called Treatment Bound. And I don't know if you've ever heard this song, Will, but it's got a reference to Madison, Wisconsin in it. So that gave it an extra little boost.
Moved it up into
my top five.
Moved up in the rankings. That's a good reason to put it there, I think.
Yeah,
okay,
totally.
Here we go. Oh, he didn't make it to the Madison reference.
He had just cut it just short.
I knew I was going to cut it just before that happened, yeah.
Yeah. But, so, you know, that one, obviously there wasn't a lot of overdubbing and stuff. You can just imagine him being in the studio, and it's like...
Right.
Sub-demo quality.
Right.
To it. But it's just spontaneous, and, you know, it almost sounds ad-libbed at times.
Right.
I don't know, I think it just kind of captures a lot of the just the power of the band, and I just really like that one. And you can imagine it, you know, kind of polished up, and it'd be a really, really great song. I like it the way it is too. But
yeah, they must have just thought, well, let's just leave it the way it is. You know, sometimes that's not a bad idea. You know, sometimes when you try to record something. And you know, you're too analytical. Again, I'm using that term again, but then it just doesn't have the same spirit, you know, as the first time.
Right.
All right, so my number three, well, this is like not a not going out on a limb or anything, because I think this is one of their more well-known songs. I guess this is our first pick from the Tim album. It's called Left of the Dial. Left of the Dial.
Yeah, that's a great one that you know, I easily could have put on my list too. Now the production, it was produced by Tommy Ramone, and I guess Paul Westerberg was a big fan of his. And you're the guy that's better at describing the production, like, but to me it just sounds like flat and dull and just.
So you don't like the production
weird.
Of the album?
No, I don't.
Well, there are different songs that might show the production a little bit better, I think, on the album, and some of them are kind of, it's like they added a lot of reverb, and I think it's kind of strange sounding, but I've never thought of it as like that I didn't like it. Like on that song, the guitars they're pretty rocking, right? I think
right.
They, you know, but the overall production, yeah, maybe it's definitely different than. Any of their albums, of their other albums, because it's I'm not gonna have anything brilliant to say.
Well,
yeah,
I guess the listener can decide,
yeah,
for him or herself,
yeah,
what they think of the production. But that's I've always really loved that album, and I started getting into them even more than shortly after I met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
We both really liked it and kind of bonded over that, so
it has a lot of good songs on it. A
lot of good songs.
I really, really like "Bastards of Young." I almost put that on the list, but I thought that it got slightly beaten out by "Left of the Dial."
Right.
But yeah, and there's one called
and
"Kiss Me on
Mascara's" on there, and "Kiss Me on the Bus."
"Kiss Me on the Bus" is like a kind of a ballad. And
yeah,
Waitress in the Sky, Swingin' Party. A lot of good stuff. Yeah. Okay, let's see. What are we up to? I think you're number two, right?
My number two?
Yep.
Is kind of another slower one. It's a sad drinking song called Here Comes a Regular.
Yeah, that's kind of classic Replacements.
Yep. Yeah, it was the last song on Tim. And both, like, when it was side one and side two of the record, like, side one starts with a real rocker, Hold My Life,
mm-hmm.
and ends with Swingin' Party, which is another, you know, kind of slower tempo,
right,
reflective kind of a song.
Yep.
Side two opens up with Bastards of the Young, and then closes with that one, so.
Yep, yep.
Kind of cool how they did that.
Kind of showed the versatility of the band.
Yeah.
I don't know if Paul Westerberg has been playing live at all. I haven't heard much about him playing out live at all lately. But you'd think if he put together a band and decided to tour again, you could see him doing this song as an encore, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Just like absolutely. Coming out with a guitar and playing Here Comes the Regular, you know?
But you're right. He I don't think he's been to Madison since I've lived here.
Yeah,
there.
I haven't.
I'm not there right now.
Since
like 2000 for sure. Because I'd have gone or at least been aware of it.
And some of his solo stuff has been really pretty good. He did this. Did you ever listen to that kind of bizarre sort of mashup thing that was like a 45-minute track? I think it's called like 45 minutes or something.
The title of it was like 45 and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just pretty cool. I'll have to give that to you if you don't have it. It's it's, and I want to go back and listen to that now because I remember it was just kind of it kind of just flows from one song into another, and then he starts playing covers. He's, you know, there's like,
that sounds cool.
Yeah. I might listen to that right after we finish recording this because that was a fun one. Well, we can update the listeners on that next week. So, all right. I think we're up to my number two, right?
Yep.
This is another one of those, pretty popular Replacements songs. So, if you know the Replacements, you're going to know this one. And it's from the Let It Be album, and it's called I Will Dare. We'll be right back. Okay, the phone was ringing, and I was actually talking on the phone while we were playing that. Did that come through?
No, I didn't hear anything, but as soon as the song cut out, it sounded kind of cool. You know,
all right.
Like if we were recording an album and that happened to be in there, like
yes.
This, I think I'd have voted to keep that in.
You would just leave it in there?
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was kind of neat.
One time when I was recording something for one of my 80s music projects, I was in the middle of recording something, and my mom walked into the room to tell me that there was a phone call for me, and I decided to leave it. I left it on the recording, and I put echo on it of my mom telling me I had a phone call. So it was kind of fun.
Ooh.
So that's, you know, I was being very, what do you want to call it? It's just pretentiously cool, right? I was like thinking I was cool because I did that, because I left a spontaneous thing in. Another time,
Sepido would have done, right?
You know,
sure.
You know what else I did? I was recording something. Well, we had some kind of recording thing going on, and we had all of our equipment in the basement, and we had a cricket in the basement window well, and it was like chirping really loudly. So I just decided to record it. So I turned the recorder on, set the mic there, and then we used that as a track on the song.
Wow.
So,
cool.
Yeah, you gotta do that. Like if a random, if you can't be creative enough yourself to think of the idea, then what you do is just whatever happens at the time, you just throw that in there in the recording. Then they think you're creative.
Yeah.
See, pretty good, huh?
That's the trick.
All right.
You gotta keep those secrets. You're like, you know, exposing the truth behind the magic.
I still love the and this was actual creativity, right? Not random. I love that story about REM slapping their pants for the rhythm sound on I think it's Moral Kiosk. Remember that story?
Yes.
Let me try doing it right now here. I set the mic down, right? They went like this. There, I slapped my pants. But now think you're doing that, but you got like six guys sitting around in a circle, and then everybody slaps their pants. No, that's cool, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was Mitch Easter doing that production, right?
Yep.
I think. Who was the other guy? It was Mitch Easter.
Don Dixon.
Don Dixon, right. Yeah. They were sort of a team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we're up to number one. What's it going to be?
My number one, and I'm going to say again that I just did this chronologically, and this is the last one. So it gets to be number one. And it's Skyway from Pleased to Meet Me.
And of course, that's a reference to the Minneapolis Skyway, where, you know, I've been on that Skyway a few times. So that I have something in common with Paul Westerberg.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. It's, you know, some cities have underground tunnels, right? Cold cities. Like we were in Chicago, and I never even realized this, but when we were in Chicago about a month ago, they have a lot of the buildings in the central downtown area are connected underground,
right?
Which I never realized before. But in Minneapolis, they have a skyway, meaning it's like second floor level connections to all these buildings. And for those of you who don't live in cold climates, you might not be familiar with this concept, but basically it's because it's so damn cold outside that nobody wants to go outside, so you can get around by using the skyway. And I'm sure Paul Westerberg was touched by that concept when he came up with this song.
You take the skyway high above the busy little one-way, in my stupid hat and gloves at night I lie awake wondering if I'll sleep, wondering if we'll meet out in the street. But you take the skyway, it don't move at all like a subway. It's got bombs when it's cold like any other place. It's warm up inside, sitting down and waiting for a ride. beneath the skyway.
Yeah, that's a good one. I had that on my short list too. So there's a band that was known for thrashy, sloppy music, but they could come up with a pretty darn good, just basic ballad too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was kind of the contrast, I think, that made their albums so fun to listen to.
Right.
You know.
Yep, I agree. They'd have a song like that, and then they'd hit you with some rocking loud guitars.
Yeah.
And okay, my number one is Alex Chilton, and I've just always really liked this song, and it's from the later stage of their career, but just a really catchy, fun kind of power pop song. So here it is, Alex Chilton.
Good one.
I never get tired of that song.
Yeah.
Yep. A tribute to the now late Alex Chilton. Was that about a year ago that he died?
Something like that. I remember talking about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Remember there was that senator from where? Where's Alex Chilton from? Like South Carolina or North Carolina?
God, I can't remember. Something that's like that? Right. The guy gave a speech on the Senate floor. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, all these like old dudes at the House of Representatives are like, what in the hell?
That's right. We might have even played that speech on the podcast. I think we did, didn't we?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So there you go. The Replacements were in on Alex Chilton before a lot of people were. They were already recording a tribute song to him in the 80s, around, when was that album? Like 1987, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there you go. The Replacements. I think that's a pretty good cross section, right?
Of that is
of Replacements songs.
Yeah.
So there we go. As we go through yet another catalog and do our top five, and there's more. We can come up with more.
Many, many, many more.
But now we're well into January, and new music is starting to come out finally. So I think we'll try to be more current maybe next week.
Yeah,
I've got
that. Sounds good.
Got at least a couple I've been listening to. So
got some ideas.
Yeah, we'll do some post and pre-production and get ready for next week.
Yeah.
And but we should let the listeners enjoy this one for a while and not even worry about the next podcast for a while, right?
Yeah, totally.
Soak in the Replacements.
We can rest on our laurels for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Or right before we start beating ourselves up over, you know, not having picked out a new feature.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, since I'm in New York, I've got to go to a cool record store and find something cool here.
Yeah, you should.
Bring that back.
You should.
Right?
Yeah, it'll have a cool factor.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. All right, we'll do that. Scout it out for us. Give us something to talk about next week. You know, some cool New York thing.
Yeah.
Yep. But we won't be moving the podcast to Brooklyn, at least not yet. We're going to stay in our humble Midwestern location, I think, for the foreseeable future.
I like it there.
I mean, there'll be demand, undoubtedly, at some point. We're going to be asked to move to Brooklyn. But we're going to try to keep it here because, our roots are here.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And our children. And wives.
Right. Wives and children, yeah.
That would be...
If you and I just moved, that'd be bad, wouldn't it?
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
that'd be
professional development, man. You know, it's like...
Exactly. We'll come back in a couple of years.
College football and basketball coaches, they move, right?
Right.
They take off. They get a good offer.
Where your job takes you.
Right. You got to do that. So, you know, there's probably a need for podcasters in Brooklyn.
Yeah, so, I don't think they have any podcasts here.
Yeah, they might
not. I think it's a Madison thing.
Yeah.
We have to look into that. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Or we could open a...
Might be a little myopic. But
it could be a Brooklyn or a New York City branch of the Will's Band of the Week podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we could... But it'd have to be... We'd have to approve everything because there'd have to be strict oversight. Because, like, what if they... liked something that was really terrible that we didn't like, and then it'd be terrible.
We just
can't allow that. The quality control that we exercise is so important.
Right.
And, you know, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on for a band to get onto this podcast, it's big stuff, you know? This is the big time.
So we'd have all these little branches, all these little franchises, like...
Yeah.
Be kind of like CSI.
Yeah, something like that.
It'd be like WBOTW-Brooklyn.
Right. Yeah.
And dash, you know, Austin.
Right. Right. Austin. Yep. Yeah. Portland.
Lawrence, Kansas.
Carborough, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We could go on and on.
Yeah.
Let's put one in Detroit, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's got to bring back Detroit.
Yeah.
From its whatever you want to call it. Yeah. All right, I think we've done it, and we're going to sign off, and we're going to let Barrett enjoy the rest of his stay in New York City, and yeah, that's about it.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to say good night. Good night.
Good night.